Petrangelo shoots, save, rebound, score! Nicholas Waugh ties it! Rebound goal for Nick Waugh.
Live from the Findlay Chevrolet Fox Sports Las Vegas studio and live at lvsportsnetwork.com.
A steal for Colasar, charging out. Colasar, the righty, shoots and scores! Colasar on the breakaway.
This is the Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show, your home for access with the team, exclusive player interviews, and breaking news from around the National Hockey League. Here are your hosts, Darren Millard and Ryan Wallace.
Welcome into the VGK Insider Show on this Friday before the playoffs get started this weekend. Chris Chapman filling in with you solo for the first hour. Darren Millard will be joining me in hour number two. But I'm here rolling solo, at least temporarily, here on Fox Sports Las Vegas in the Findlay Chevrolet Fox Sports Las Vegas studio. Findlay Chevrolet on the 215, home of the Woo! Got a lot going on. It's, the regular season comes to an end. Last night, a 4-1 defeat at the hands of the Anaheim Ducks. And not going to open up the phone lines, but you can shoot me a text if you do so, please. 702-876-1340 is the text line number. I want to know, how confident are you going into the playoffs? We know that the Golden Knights will play the Dallas Stars. And boy, that waiting to find out who the Golden Knights are going to play was... It was interesting because we knew going in that the Golden Knights were current at the time at puck drop in third place in the Pacific Division and a win, and they would have played the Edmonton Oilers. They could have lost and still ended up playing the Edmonton Oilers, but it would have required a LA Kings loss. But we also knew that if they lost and the Kings won, that it would be a second wild card spot for VGK. And they would play the Dallas Stars, a rematch of the Western Conference Final from last season. Well, the Golden Knights did not fulfill their end of the bargain by going out and beating the Anaheim Ducks. In fact, I don't think it's a game that Bruce Cassidy is going to plug the video in and tell the guys how great they played, because I think it really seemed like game 82 of the regular season. But some things to maybe not be so thrilled about, some things that maybe you saw that maybe you did like. I'll be honest. I think overall the game was kind of meh. Even the first period, you could tell that they were really trying to get Marchessault goal number 43. They kept feeding him the puck. He had four shots on goal in the first period alone. He finished the game, I believe, with seven shots on goal. So slowed down a little bit as the game progressed. Frank Vetrano scores a hat trick for the Anaheim Ducks, and what a great season for Frank Vetrano. Not a great season for the Anaheim Ducks, but a great season for him. By the way, the Anaheim Ducks defeated the Golden Knights in three of the four games they played this season. So, look, if you're the Golden Knights and you're unhappy with your playoff seeding, you have to look at the record against some of the teams that did not make the playoffs this year. Anaheim, they lost three out of four games to the Ducks. There's a couple of others in there that you could go back and find. Golden Knights did not have a great record. Look, they lost to the Buffalo Sabres. They lost, I think they split with Ottawa. Split with Columbus. So there's some teams in there where you're really scratching your head. Split with Detroit, where you're like, man, if only you hold on to beat. Look, you look at the collapse two weeks ago to the Arizona Coyotes. That's the difference between third place in the Pacific and wild card number two. Now, some people may say that they didn't want to play Edmonton. I don't subscribe to that theory. If you've been listening to the show all week, you know that I've wanted the Golden Knights to go through the Pacific Division. Did not want to have to go through the Central, which is now. So the way it'll work, there'll be crossover in the Western Conference. The Golden Knights will cross over and play in the Pacific or in the Central Division, and the Nashville Predators will finish over and play in the Pacific, which to me if you're a purist of the sport, you probably don't like that. The whole purpose of the wild cards was kind of one of the stories that we get, and Darren a couple of nights ago told us about, you know, how there was an imbalance in the conferences and the divisions, and it was an effort to try to equalize things a little bit with the wild card. But you've got the wild card now where the Golden Knights are playing a different division. And they've played the Dallas Stars in the playoffs before. They've played the Winnipeg Jets in the playoffs before. They've played the Colorado Avalanche in the playoffs before. So nothing new there. They've played the LA Kings in the playoffs before. They've played the Edmonton Oilers in the playoffs. And if you remember back to the bubble, they played the Vancouver Canucks in the playoffs. So outside of the Nashville Predators, the Golden Knights have played every single team that made the playoffs in the Western Conference in the playoffs. They came close to playing the Nashville Predators. In year one, Nashville lost in a series to the Winnipeg Jets, and we know how the things ended up. Vegas went up to the Jets, or went up to Winnipeg, I should say, won that series in five games, won the Western Conference, and advanced to the Stanley Cup Final. But all in all, if you want to build rivalries, then you scrap the wild card, you scrap the crossover, and you just go 4-4. Some people may not like that. They may say it's not fair, and maybe it's not. Maybe it's not fair to a team in a different conference or a different division who has more points than a team in the other division. But I think all in all, 4-4 is probably the best way to go. Although, me personally, I prefer 1-8, like the NBA. Give me 1-8. I don't think too many things would be different this year if that was the case. But I think Vegas would still end up playing Dallas. Nashville would still end up playing Vancouver. But I do think maybe Colorado and Winnipeg would swap with LA and Edmonton. So we would have a little bit of a different matchups between those two teams or those two series if that was the case. But a couple texts. We got one from Tim Doyle this morning, and he said that they spent too much time trying to help Marchessault get to 43 instead of playing the win. Golden Knights need to score early and often in games against Dallas, or they will not solve Ottinger once he gets confident. The return of healthy Stone, Carrier, Pietrangelo is important for Golden Knights to advance. Thompson is the best option for goal. If he fails either or the first two games, Cassie needs to switch to Hill for games at T-Mobile. Go Knights, go. Jeremy Reagan, he texts in and he says he wants to know how long is the leash for Aiden Hill, assuming he starts game two. I don't know who's going to start game one, Jeremy. Look, I have my thoughts on that. And I think based on what I've seen the last couple games in the last couple of weeks, I lean towards Logan Thompson. But if you heard any of myself with Lindsey Brown yesterday, I think we both tended to agree. And Lindsey is very knowledgeable when it comes to the goalie position. She knows that role very, very well. She knows the mindset of a goalie. And she's great. She really is phenomenal at helping to break down. And I think her and I both agree that it's going to be a committee. I believe maybe not Thompson Hill alternate every night. But I do think for the Golden Knights, if they're going to win the Stanley Cup, they're going to need both goalies. They're going to need both goalies to play well. There's no off nights in the playoffs. And it's why I love this sport. And I think it has the best postseason of any of the major sports, because that position in hockey, the goalie position, I would make the argument, and some people would disagree with me, and that's fine. I think it's their right. They certainly can disagree. But I think the goalie position in hockey in the playoffs is every bit as important as the quarterback in the NFL playoffs. I think you can't win a Stanley Cup without a goalie playing well. And it's evident by the fact that you see a lot of goalies winning the Conn Smythe Trophy. It happens. just like a lot of quarterbacks doing the MVP in the NFL and the Super Bowl. But I think for the Golden Knights, they don't have the best goalie in the playoffs. I mean, that's pretty obvious. But what they do have is they have a great combination of two guys who play very different styles, and I think they both bring out the best in each other. I think Adin Hill needs a confidence boost. He needs a game where he just goes out and has 39-40 saves, and the Golden Knights give up one goal. They win that game like 3-1. I think that's the kind of game Adin Hill needs to kind of get his confidence going again. The goal last night that he gave up to Lacombe, it was a second goal, and it was the winning goal. Eerily similar to the goal that he gave up to the Colorado Avalanche on Sunday. It was one of those goals where you watch it, and I think you still can't believe that it went in. He probably can't believe it went in, but he needed to make the save, and he didn't. And about 30 seconds later, Frank Vatrano comes down the boards and puts his second goal of the night right past Hill. And that was a little bit of a different scenario. It was a 2-on-1 situation. I don't think too many people would fault him for that. I don't think too many people would fault him for the power play goal. Look, that power play goal that Vatrano scored, he shoots it and it deflected off of Brady McNabb's stick. And I thought that if it doesn't hit McNabb's stick, I thought Hill had it covered because I think the puck hit his glove and then went in. If it deflects, it's always going to take a bit of a wonky bounce and the trajectory is going to change. And I've never played goalie position, but I played baseball. And anyone who's played infield in baseball knows if the ball hits the ground funny, it takes a bad hop, it maybe hits a rock or something in the infield, it's going to change the trajectory of that ball, much like a puck changes trajectory when it hits someone's stick. So I don't fault Adin Hill for that goal, but I think we'd all agree, Adin included, that he needs to be better. And that's not to excuse the way that the team in front of him played either, because I don't think they were particularly great last night in front of Adin Hill either. So that leads us to where we are now. The Golden Knights, by virtue of their loss and the LA Kings getting a point, they ended up getting 2 points. But that was a wild game because they were about 30 minutes behind us in Vegas. 7:30 puck drop at crypto.com. It's always going to be Staples Center to me, but it's crypto.com arena. Chicago took a 1-0 lead in that game. LA ties it up. Second period, Chicago scored a goal. It was taken off the board. Then LA scores 2 goals to go into the third period up 3-1 on the Chicago Blackhawks. Vegas is tied 1-1 at that point at the end of the second period. And you're thinking, all right, well, all we got to do is see a Knights victory, and we know what's going to happen. Third period begins. Anaheim scores 2 quick goals. They add the empty netter. Game over. Golden Knights lose. Now their fate is in the hands of the Chicago Blackhawks, the team that they just beat earlier in the day, or earlier in the week, I should say. Chicago scores 3 unanswered goals in that third period. And you're thinking, way to go, Blackhawks. All right, here we go, 4-3. Well, it wasn't to be, as with about 1:30 to go in that game, the Blackhawks took a penalty for delay of game. Puck went over the glass, and LA goes on the power play, and they scored. And you knew when the game ended 4-4 in regulation that it didn't matter what happened in overtime. LA owned the tiebreaker over the Golden Knights. So we went. We were on the air for the postgame. Actually, I was talking to Dan Duva when it happened. And Dan Duva, by the way, going to join us at 4:30. We'll talk about a bunch of stuff with him, including What are his expectations for the postseason for the Knights? What are his expectations for the series against Dallas? We haven't seen the Stars in a long, long time. Got to go back early in the season. Golden Knights played them, I think it was three times in a span of about 2 weeks. It was a strange setup. But the Golden Knights have played the Dallas Stars nine times in the last 12 months. They've beaten them seven of nine times. But haven't seen them in a long, long time. So we'll have to see how much stock Dan takes in the seven out of nine wins. If it matters, if it doesn't matter, if there's a rollover, if there's not. I think for Dallas, it's got to be motivation. But I also think that they cannot be thrilled about the fact that they win the number one overall seed in the Western Conference and they end up playing the team that knocked them out of the playoffs last year in the Western Conference Finals. I'm sure Pete DeBoer's looking forward to it. Probably wants revenge. And I'll be the first to tell you I like Pete. I think he's a good coach. I enjoyed my time with him when he was here. I used to love when he'd come on the show and joke around with him. some of the funny stuff. We talked about Christmas songs, and his wife was still playing Christmas music. And of course, I had to ask him about his favorite Christmas song after Christmas. He likes lime cookies. We know that. So look, Pete's a fun guy. I always enjoy talking to Pete, but for the next 2 weeks, Pete DeBoer is not our friend. He's the enemy. Dallas Stars, I like a lot of players on the Dallas Stars. I like Jason Robertson. I think he's a phenomenal player. I like Wyatt Johnson, had a great season. I like Miro Heiskanen. Don't like him right now. I won't like him on Monday. But look, we finished the post-game show knowing that we were going to be seeing Dallas on Monday. By the way, 8:30 puck drop local time in Dallas for that one. So I can't imagine if I was a Dallas fan and we got a text asking about that from John. He asked why the start time at 8:30. I would imagine for television, I think the NHL probably wants eyes in the Pacific time zone on that game. That's my reasoning. And maybe we can ask Darren when we get him on at 5 o'clock why that game starts so late in Dallas. I know if I was a Stars fan, I wouldn't be thrilled about that. If I had kids, I'm not looking forward to that. If you have small children and you want to take them to the game, they're not going to school on Tuesday because you're not getting home till after midnight. I mean, I've never been to Dallas. I don't know how far reaching their fan base reaches out, how far they drive to games. I would imagine the Dallas Metroplex area is pretty big. It's one of the largest media markets in the country, Dallas, Fort Worth, and you've got, I think, Denton in that area, maybe San Antonio. I don't know how far that is from Dallas, but look, you've got a pretty large television market in that city. The fact that they're playing this game later tells me that the NHL cares more about the Pacific time zone than they do about the Dallas television market. I mean, that's my read. I could be totally wrong on that, but that's the way I'm seeing it, that having eyes in Vegas and LA and Seattle is more important than having eyes on the game in Dallas. And listen, like I said, if I'm a fan, I'm pissed off about that. I'm angry about an 8:30 start. That means I may have to miss work the next day. And then, you know, it's frustrating. But that's my guess, John, as to why the start is at 8:30. Patrick says Mark Stone will be back. The Knights will win the West. I hope so. I hope we see Mark Stone back. And listen, there's nothing more fun than when your team goes on a run. And I didn't mean for that to rhyme. It just happens to rhyme. I've been around this team twice when they've gone on runs to a Stanley Cup final. I've been around UNLV basketball when they've gone on a run to the Sweet 16. Missed the Final Four. I wasn't here then. But I travel with the team. I've been to a Sweet 16 with the UNLV basketball team. I've been to two Stanley Cup finals with the Golden Knights. I've been to playoff appearances with them, playoff series. And it's fun. It's fun. You take a lot of pride in your city. And now that we have Major League Sports, and listen, I don't have a whole lot to do with the Aces. I enjoy going to the Aces games. We broadcast the Aces games on our sister station, ESPN, Las Vegas, 1100 AM, 100.9 FM. We carry, I think, all the Aces games. Their runs in the playoffs, it's fun. So, of course, I want to see Mark Stone come back, and I want to see the Golden Knights win another Stanley Cup. I'm not. The funny thing is, when I have my reporter hat on in the locker room, I have to be objective. I can't be a fan. I can't be the voice of the fans. But when I'm doing this show, and I'm Chapman from the VGK Insider Show, I'm all about the Golden Knights. I want them to go 82-0. I want them to win 16 straight games and win the Stanley Cup. It's just more fun that way. I was here the one season the Golden Knights did not make the playoffs. It was like a wake. Coming in the day that they were eliminated and didn't make the playoffs, it sucked. It was horrible coming in and doing the show that day. There was nothing fun about it. And then you have to watch other teams perform well in the playoffs, teams you may not like, teams you root against, players you root against. So, yeah, I'm with you, Patrick. I hope Mark Stone comes back. I hope he's in the lineup Monday. I don't know if he will or he won't be. But, yeah, let's go Knights. Let's go win the West. And then Wes, excellent. Rita, I love Rita. When Rita calls in, it's always must-listen radio. But she sends us a text and she says, I would be so amused if LA beat Edmonton in the first round. Rita, I agree 100%. To me, nothing would be funnier than watching the Edmonton Oilers self-destruct and lose to the LA Kings in the playoffs. I unfortunately don't think that's going to happen, but it would be fantastic. And Wes, Pete has never and will never be accepted by the VGK faithful. I agree, Wes. I liked Pete, but I had a very different relationship with Pete than the fans. When Pete was the coach of the San Jose Sharks, I didn't like Pete. For obvious reasons. But when he came here and I got to know him and I got to talk to him every day, your perspective changes. And I think as a guy, as a coach, I respect him. I think he's funny. I think he's a good coach. And, I mean, he had some good runs. He made a conference final in the bubble where they lost to the Dallas Stars. And he made a conference final in the COVID year where they lost to the Montreal Canadiens, which I'm still scratching my head as to how that happened. I just can't explain it. Still to this day, I can't explain that one. But yes, I can understand, Wes, why the fan base does not like him, why he was never accepted. And listen, I respect that as a fan. I've been fans of some really bad football and baseball and basketball teams growing up. And there were coaches. Look, to this day, Rich Kotite, who was a coach of the New York Jets, I'll never appreciate. I'll never accept that guy as the coach of the New York Jets. 4 wins in 2 seasons. No, thank you. Adam Gase, he's another guy. As far as I'm concerned, he never, ever should coach in the NFL again. So I get that. I'm a fan of other teams, so I can understand why fans would not like specific coaches. But before we get to the break, and Dan Duva is going to be on the other side, there was something I talked about yesterday with Lindsey Brown, and it was the Arizona Coyotes moving to Salt Lake City. That's a done deal. That's going to happen. The Coyotes have already taken, as of yesterday, over 11,000 season ticket deposits. to play at, I think it's now the Delta Center. It was Vivint Arena. It was the Delta Center. It changed to Vivint Arena. I think it's going to go back to the Delta Center. It's in downtown Salt Lake. But I've heard now that the state of Utah is committed to potentially building a multi-purpose arena for both the Jazz and whatever the hockey club is going to be that plays in Salt Lake City. They are going to be the Utah. They're not going to be Salt Lake. They're going to be Utah, like the Utah Jazz, which is interesting because I'm going to play something for you from Bill Foley. And this is courtesy of Chris Matthews from Channel 8. I love Chris. He does a great job. He's been here a long, long time, and he's from the Salt Lake area. He grew up there, went to the University of Utah. So for him, this is big because now he's been in Vegas for the Golden Knights, and his hometown is going to get a hockey club. But he talked to Bill Foley last night, asked him about television markets, and I want you to pay attention to what Bill Foley says here towards the end.
Well, he did. He submitted an application, submitted a lot of information about himself. I'm going to put a call into him and welcome to the league. I'm happy to have him. I believe he's going to be a great asset. Now, we give up Salt Lake City as a secondary territory, but we get Arizona, so we're okay. We still have our sphere of influence, which, for example, includes St. George, so we go out that far. And then we have secondary spheres, so we're fine. We're happy. We're good. We love Salt Lake. We have a lot of fans there. But there are more people in Arizona. So I'm going where the people are.
So in case you missed it, I'll go through it again. They're going to have St. George in their television market. The Golden Knights are. So you have this Salt Lake team that is going to be called Utah. However, their television market is not going to encompass the entire state of Utah. Southern Utah is still going to be part of the Golden Knights television territory, which I think is really cool. A, because I love St. George, but if I was to leave Vegas, that's a place I might consider going. I don't know how much I'd be able to work out there, but I could retire maybe one day. St. George, not a bad place. But I'd still be able to watch the Golden Knights. But they're also going to have the Arizona television market, the entire state of Arizona. That is huge for the Golden Knights because the fan base has now expanded exponentially. Salt Lake, pretty decent-sized television market. Phoenix, massive television market. So, look, for the Golden Knights, that is good news. Bill Foley seems happy about it. And the people in Salt Lake are happy. The fans in Arizona, my heart breaks for them. I tweeted out a picture last night of the banner hanging at T-Mobile Arena. It's the last time that we are ever going to, likely, will ever see the Arizona Coyotes banner hanging at T-Mobile Arena. By the way, I don't know who's in charge of that, but if you're looking for a home for that Arizona Coyotes banner, I'll take it. I don't know where I'd put it. Probably too big to fit in my place, but I'd find a good home for it somewhere. I don't even know how much those things weigh. They're massive. But yeah, so for me, I used to live in Phoenix. I used to go to Coyote games when I was younger. I had a great time. And it's a sad day. It's a sad day for that franchise and their fans. But it's also a new beginning for that franchise and a new set of fans. Now, Bill Foley's excited. He's going to get the Phoenix television market. So it's good news all around for him. We're going to take a break. We'll come right back. We're going to talk to Dan Duva on the other side. Of course, Dan, the radio voice of the Golden Knights. He, along with Gary Lawless, all 82 games, I should say. And he's getting ready to head to Dallas. He's packing. We talked about that last night. I don't think he has cowboy boots. We'll ask him on the other side. It's the VGK Insider Show on Fox Sports Las Vegas. Welcome back to the VGK Insider Show. Chris Chapman filling in for Ryan Wallace and Darren Millard. Darren will be with us in the 5 o'clock hour, and that was Jack Eichel last night talking about the service award that he won for his involvement in the community here in Vegas. And you know, it's great to see. That's the one great thing I love about this team and just the hockey community in general is the giving back. And just follow the Golden Knights on social media, and you see whether it's Keegan Kolasar out at a local elementary school or junior high school teaching kids how to play four hockey, or whether it's the broadcasters out doing an event. You know, Jack Eichel, obviously in the community now, he's going to be taking over for Riley Smith as the captain of the Battle for Las Vegas Golden Knights softball team. So that's going to be fun. That's July the 13th. It was announced recently, but want to let you know, Golden Knights and Circa, they will be teaming up. And Monday afternoon for the, or Monday evening, I should say, for game one of the playoffs, free entry to Stadium Swim for anyone in VGK gear. You got to be over 21 to go, so you want to bring the kids, can't take them. But puck drop at 6:30. That's going to be a really cool event. Ryan is going to be out there. But want to bring in Dan Duva. Of course, you know him as the voice of the Golden Knights. And Dan, how are you today?
I am well, Chris, but I have to tell you first, among your many, many talents, one that goes far too unappreciated is your musical selection, your disc jockey ability. I have to say that that is not talked about enough here in Las Vegas, and it really is a shame.
Well, I know you are a big Springsteen guy. You and Steve Karp are the two biggest Springsteen guys I know who I've met through the Golden Knights. And so anytime...
Gosher, too. Gosher as well.
Yeah.
And, honorable mention for Lawless.
Really, Gary? That's fantastic.
Yeah, and Shane thinks his name is Bruce Springsteen or something like that. Shane's had enough of the Springsteen talk. But yeah, Gosher. I mean, you know, like he's not New Jersey born, Chris. You know, so like we have the leg up.
Yeah.
You know, Karp's close because you know it's
Long
New
Island.
Guy.
Yeah.
So you know, when you're from Jersey, you know it's in your blood. So
it's a rite of passage.
The choice, of course,
I think.
Was great. I did lament missing Springsteen at the Carrier Dome at Syracuse yesterday, though.
Now, how many times have you seen him?
That you know, I get asked that, and I don't know. I'm not one of the folks who has kept track. I'll put it in the dozens. I don't think I've seen him 100 times because you know he's 74 and I'm 38, so like I haven't been around as long as maybe some other people who would have seen him. You know, my parents saw him in the 70s. You know, I would have seen him for the first time in the 90s, but the band wasn't really together. Anyway, nobody wants to hear about this.
Yeah, so.
But it was a great show when it was here at T-Mobile Arena, and it was a lot of fun. So thank you for your musical selection.
Yeah, not a problem. Now, Dan, I want to ask you, not necessarily a hockey question, but a lot of people may not know that you have done Cape Cod Baseball League over the summer in between hockey season. And I don't know if you grew up a Mets or Yankees fan, but...
Mets. Okay. Mets fan.
Well, I was going to ask you what you thought about the news of John Sterling retiring, because anyone who grew up where we grew up knows the voice of John Sterling, and any baseball fan should know the voice. So when you heard that news, just what were your initial thoughts?
Oh, sure. Well, flashback to the times that I spent with John. One of my first paying gigs in this business was as a runner for the YES Network, the Yankees Entertainment and Sports Network. It was brand new when I was in high school. And so my senior year, 2002-03, the Yankees' first year on YES was 2002. The New Jersey Nets' first season on YES was the 2002-03 season. And I was a runner. And so when I could, worked at Nets games and then later on Yankees games and got to spend time with, you know, Michael Kay and Susan Waldman and John Sterling. But John was just the soundtrack of baseball. Even as a Mets fan, you could just admire the sound, the history, the love of the team, and between listening to Gary Cohen and Bob Murphy on Mets radio, Michael Kay and John Sterling on Yankees radio, just totally spoiled. And he was just such a gentleman. I was amazed that he would show up wearing these three-piece suits when it was 85 degrees in New York, and just always had time. And my broadcast partner in Cape Cod, as you mentioned, how we did baseball games there when we were in college. My buddy Guy was a Yankees fan, and he just did a wonderful piece on his radio show about how he had contacted John when he was, 10 years old, and John left him this voicemail at home, and the Yankees won the World Series in '96. And long story short, John is just a total class gentleman, and frankly, one of the great voices in New York sports history.
Yeah, definitely, and he'll be missed. And I would not want to be the guy to replace John Sterling.
I know the two people. Justin Shackle is one of my very good friends from college, and Emmanuel Barbari is one of our understudies with the Chatham A's. He was the Chatham broadcaster a couple years ago, so I was very excited for both Justin and Emmanuel to be in those shoes. And and I've known Susan a long time as well. So I'm very excited for that. And then Ryan Rucco on TV. So again, this is perhaps beyond our normal topics of conversation, Chris, but I am very personally excited, congratulating John on an incredible career. He's 85 years old, but that some people that I know really, really well and have huge respect for are going to be in those shoes, and this season for sure, and hopefully for many, many years to come.
You know, we're now at the point of the season where regular season, I think everything that transpired doesn't matter. It's a new beginning. Mm-hmm. It's the second season now, as I like to refer to the postseason. But Golden Knights and the Dallas Stars, I don't know if anyone at the beginning of the season would have predicted this would have been a first-round matchup. But how excited are you that you get to call what was last year's Western Conference Final in round one?
Yeah. And the fact that these teams had met in conference final, we got to go back all the way to the 2020 bubble. You know, so Dallas was in Edmonton. We almost forget about that because it was, you know, nobody was there to see it in person, including us calling the games off the monitors. And that was the series where Vegas just couldn't find a way to score. And then Dallas went on and lost in the final against Tampa. But then Vegas, with the measure of revenge, beating Dallas in the conference final last year. And now it's the third time that these teams will meet in the postseason for a series, eliminating the round-robin games. And so that'll be a first, you know, for the Knights to see an opponent in three different postseasons. That's just their sixth different postseason out of 7 years. And the things have changed in both places, of course, since the first time, but that Pete DeBoer is over there, plus other members of the coaching staff. When you have that familiarity, you know, you wonder about, is there one side that has a leg up? The fact that, you know, the Knights did defeat Dallas last year, but Dallas number one in the Western Conference this year. Vegas has had great success against Dallas in the regular season. Why? I don't know. They can't beat the Ducks, but they can beat the Dallas Stars. I mean, you figure that one out. And so much of it is you look at, you know, three games over the course of 82 between the Knights and Stars. Chris, you know, there are so many ups and downs. We can look at splits, home and away, but really, you know, you're often, you know, at circumstances that have little to do with, you know, the location of the game. Or at that point in time, the Knights happen to have a bunch of injuries. Or at another point in time, the Stars, you know, were going through a slump of some kind. But that's the beauty of a playoff series, that you really do get some sort of decisive results. And that's why it's best of seven and not best of three or even best of five. It is best of seven in all four rounds. I think that's something really special about how the Stanley Cup playoffs unfold. And I don't know who's going to win. I don't do predictions, but I would be surprised if it wasn't a long series.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. You kind of mentioned the regular season, and these two teams have seen each other nine times in the last calendar year, but not since December the 9th. So I don't really know how much stock you can, by the way, that was a 6-1 win for the Golden Knights, but I don't know how much stock you could really take in what transpired in the regular season, because a lot of people may not remember the last regular season that Dallas swept the Golden Knights, and all three of those games were towards the end of the season. So just a bizarre way that it's worked out that these teams have met each other. And, you know, I mentioned to Ashley the other day when I spoke to her, I said, you know, it's crazy. These two teams have seen each other, or the Golden Knights have made the playoffs 6 out of 7 years. And all six of those seasons, Pete DeBoer has either been on the opposing bench or on the Golden Knights bench, which is crazy to think. The tie-in that Pete will forever have to this franchise.
No doubt about it, and has been on the winning side and the losing side in both really good and really bad ways.
Yes.
It's run the gamut for him, and of course, as much as Pete would have loved to bring the Knights to the final, he did not get to that point, whereas the other two Knights coaches, Gerard Gallant and Bruce Cassidy, have. And, of course, Bruce bringing them over the hump to a championship. Pete never did get Vegas to a final and, you know, has not been that far since he was the Sharks coach back, 2016. So the way that things have gone for Pete, he is one of the great coaches of his generation. I remember talking a couple of years ago and he and Tom McClellan were, you know, neck and neck and who was going to hit a certain milestone first as they chart higher and higher in the all-time wins list. That is longevity. Even though Bruce has taken the Knights to the final and won it, you know, Pete DeBoer has been to the final, you know, a few times and, you know, has not gotten his name on the Stanley Cup. And to think about how long he's been doing this at the different places that he's done it. It's an impressive resume, and you figure that every time you go through it, you become a better coach, more experience, and sometimes you've got the horses to get you there. Other times, really good coaches don't, because the personnel isn't what they need to make it happen. It looks to me like the Stars have got as deep a team as I can recall. If Ottinger is on his game, and of late he certainly has, the benefit of rest. You never want somebody to be injured, but the silver lining with an injury is that you get rest. Remember that all with Marc-Andre Fleury the first year, missed 2 months, so he was fresher going into that postseason when he was dominant, but maybe ran out of gas toward the end, whereas Holtby did not start that postseason. It was Grubauer for Washington at the beginning of the Stanley Cup playoffs, so Holtby was great at the end. So you could talk about the goaltending, you could talk about the depth, you could talk about special teams, the coaches that know each other, they know each other's teams so well, and all of that. What do you think, Chris, about having this kind of a matchup so early in the postseason? A lot of people last year, I remember talking about Vegas and Edmonton. It could have been a Stanley Cup final, whereas and the Knights and Stars met in the conference final. This year, it feels like it ought to be a conference final type of series, but here it is in the first round.
Yeah, it's a heavyweight matchup for sure. I mean, you've got two teams that are, I think, since the Golden Knights have come into the league, near the top of the table all the time, especially when you look at the standings. It's a heavyweight tilt for sure, and it's two teams that I think, when you factor in some of the star players on both sides, Jack Eichel, of course, and Joe Pavelski and Jason Robertson, and well, the one guy who really, I think, sticks out to me in this series is Wyatt Johnston, who, of course, is just a kid.
Emerged.
I mean, really mm-hmm. had a breakout season. I think close to 70 points for him. So it is a heavyweight fight, and I think that's probably why the NHL has put these series in prime time on the West Coast, because you've got two really good teams, the defending Stanley Cup champs and the team that had the second most amount of points in the NHL this year. So, look, it's going to be, I think it's going to be, to quote Jim Ross, a slobber knocker. And look, I don't know about you, but I'm looking forward to watching it. I'm imagining you're looking forward to calling it.
Oh my goodness, yes. And I was just talking to Shane Knighty about this earlier today. You know, like, what are going to be some of the differences? And you know, we know a lot of the similarities. These are teams we just talked about, the depth and the familiarity with each other. The goaltending stories are well documented. You know, it was Lauren Brossoit to start the postseason for the Knights last year because he was the healthiest guy at the time. Then he goes down, Hill comes in, and so he was the guy who finished off the Oilers in the second round and, of course, led the Knights through the third round against the Stars and then, of course, the Panthers in the final. You know, Logan Thompson was not part of that. He had been injured in March and never got back to a point where he was even going to dress for any of those playoff games. You had Brossoit, Hill, Quick, but Thompson was not a participant. And right now, Chris, I mean, he's going to be, it appears, the guy, just based on what he has done recently. And you know, Aiden hasn't quite recaptured that sterling play of last year's postseason and even the way he started this year was very, very good. Just hasn't quite been the same of late. So I look at the goaltending. You know, obviously, if you get a goalie going at the right time, that can be the difference. But if you have a really good goalie who's not going when you need him, you know, it can go the other way. These will be the first playoff appearances for Logan Thompson in the NHL, even though he's been with this team for a few years, and it's hard to imagine. I mean, they missed the playoffs 2 years ago, and this last year he was injured. So these will be his first Stanley Cup playoff games. How does he hold up to that? Here's one other thing, Chris, and this is what Shane and I were talking about. The Knights have never had a power play that looks like the current Golden Knights power play. We've lamented that. Bruce talked about it last year. It was average. It's something he wanted to improve upon coming into this year. And for whatever reason or reasons, it just has not been what you'd like. It was, you know, basically 20th, 21st in the league. But throw Tomáš Hertl into this, and it's something that the Knights have never had. Never in six, almost 7 years, have they had the type of player that Tomáš Hertl is. The effectiveness, you know, winning faceoffs is the beginning of it, I suppose.
Yeah, I think it's like 70% he's won since he's gotten here.
Right. And then the talent, the size, everything, all of that net front. Other guys have tried and, you know, have been decent enough at it, but The Knights have never had a player like Hurdle, and therefore they've never had a power play like the one that we have seen. So three times in four games, they had two power play goals. And by the way, that other game, they had zero power play opportunities against the Oilers.
Yes.
So it just seems to me, with the full complement of players, and you know, you certainly would expect Hanifin back, fingers crossed that Mark Stone can graduate from the non-contact jersey to a regular jersey, and I'm sure that they are hoping very deeply that Mark will be available to get into the lineup. I don't know for game one, but at some point, obviously. But you consider all of those pieces that are now coming together. It just seems to me that the power play looked like a different team with Hurdle as a centerpiece of it. And that, you know, the Knights still overcame Edmonton's power play success in round two last year. Because of other things that they did really well. I wonder if the Knights end up leaning more on their power play success this postseason than they have in the past. They've never been able to do that. They've never been able to rely on their power play. And maybe they don't need to rely on it, but maybe it puts them over the hump. Maybe in a game or two it is the difference. It just seems to me that if it it could be an X factor in a way that it has not before. Is the point I think I'm trying to get to.
Yeah, I agree 100%. And Dan, I got to let you go. We're up against it, but I really appreciate you jumping on today. We got to get you on the show more often.
Sure, my pleasure, Chris. Anytime.
All right, Dan. Well, that was Dan Duva. We'll talk to you. We'll hear from you on Monday, Dan.
Very good. Talk to you then. Thanks, Chris.
No problem, Dan. That was Dan Duva, of course, the voice of the Golden Knights. He will be in Dallas with Gary Lawless. You mentioned Shane Knighty, Dave Gosher, the big Springsteen fan, Dave Gosher. By the way, did not know that. I know Dave's a music guy. I didn't know he was a Springsteen guy, but that was look. I'm with him. The point he made at the end about the power play, the last few weeks we've seen with Tomas Hertl in the lineup for the Golden Knights. I don't know if they've ever had a power play this good, and I think he's right about that. We're gonna take a break. We'll come back. We'll preview what's coming up in hour number two on the other side of the break. It's a VGK Insider Show, Fox Sports Las Vegas. Hour number two of the VGK Insider Show coming up on the other side of the break. Darren Millard has just texted me, told me that he is connected, ready to go. So we will have your one-timers, of course, game ratings from last night. Maybe talk a little bit about Golden Knights playoff opponent, the Dallas Stars. Who knows? It's Darren Millard. You never know what you're going to get. Hour number two of the VGK Insider Show coming up next right on the other side. Stick around.